affect not only the Latino community, but that of North and Northeast Portland. And I'm just, again, disappointed that we're here again with another resolution.
And next are Christina Perry, Claire Oliveros, Felicia Williams. They will be followed by Robin Cash, Lonnie Currier, and Arlene Holmes. They're not here.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Felicia Williams. I'm a graduate student at the Portland State's History Program, and I'm actually working on the MLK Street renaming in Portland. So I've gotten to be pretty knowledgeable about the history of street renaming in Portland, and I can actually answer some of the questions that you have about what the history is of different streets. So I can address some of those for you. I'm not going to go over a lot of territory that other people have, but I will say with MLK, before 1986, when it was originally proposed by the MLK Street Renaming Committee, there was one street in the entire city of Portland that was named for an ethnic minority. One. Points if you can even figure out who it was. Here we are, 20 years later, we have 3 streets that have been added. So now we're up to 4. So who we choose to honor is pretty important, and how we choose to honor them is relevant. We have literally hundreds of streets names for people who have no historical relevance other than the fact that they own some property. All right, so let's take a closer look at some of the streets that do exist. There are some requirements for the process that are in place. So Broadway, I thought Broadway was a good street, but unfortunately, Broadway begins in the city of Portland, but extends outside of the city limits. Under the street renaming requirements, the street has to begin and end in Portland city limits. Second, it can't already be named for another person, so you got rid of a whole lot of streets right there. And then finally, it's actually part of the process. You do have to go through a public committee, and so we've done that. So one of the things that we think about is 4th Avenue is really good, but you're going to have a hard time passing it by the Historians Committee because it's been 4th Avenue since 1851. On the other hand, Patton, which became Interstate, has had actually 8 different names in the course of its history. No kidding, 8 of them. So if you look at the development, and I have been looking at the development on the maps, the development process in downtown Portland has been far more significant along 4th Avenue than it was along Interstate. As far as the concerns of the Polish community goes, I was comparing maps, the Sanborns, and they've had 4 buildings on the street. So it's not a persuasive argument per se. So if you'd like to know more, I have a lot of information available.
Okay, folks.
My name is Cristina Perry Gonzalez. I'm a student at Portland State University, and I'm here to support the name change of Interstate Avenue to honor Cesar E. Chavez and the work that he's done, and also to honor the Latino community and the coming together of all communities in celebration of this great man and the work that he did while he was alive. I think it's very important to continue to honor that legacy, not only with the naming of a street, but a continued celebration of his life and the work that he and many other peoples did. I come from a background where my family was farm workers. They worked very hard in that. My grandfather emphasized education, and luckily many of his children and my cousins, the grandchildren, were able to go on to college and better educations, a better life, better opportunities than they had before. Now my 2 younger brothers go to school in North Portland. I think it would be amazing opportunity if my 2 younger brothers could go down the street past Interstate and see the name of Cesar Chavez, a leader that comes from their community and who is influential in our personal family history and in the greater history of all people in Portland and in the U.S. I also need to oppose the resolution to name 4th Avenue in honor of Cesar Chavez because it doesn't represent that spirit of community that I see represented along Interstate. My reaction to this is because I see that there can be a future along Interstate where we can have community celebrations honoring Cesar Chavez, bringing the community together to honor him, on a day where we could have a parade, a march, celebration with everyone learning about him, whereas 4th Avenue, it's pretty empty after work on the weekends. And so I truly support the naming of Interstate Avenue to Cesar Chavez.
Good evening, Mayor Tom Potter, City Commissioners. My name is Claire Oliveros. I'm a resident of North Portland and was born and raised in Northeast Portland. I'm here on behalf of the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines and the student leaders and staff of the Portland Community College Sylvania Multicultural Center. Some of the students are here today. We support the street name change of North Interstate Avenue to Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. As a second-generation Filipino-American, this renaming of Interstate Avenue empowers all communities, especially communities that identify with Mr. Chavez's struggle for racial and economic justice. Cesar E. Chavez stood for social justice and human rights, working in solidarity with early Filipino labor leaders up and down the West Coast. He joined the collective struggle and formed a union to fight against the exploitation of employers and oppressive working conditions, which still persist today. We all are benefactors of Mr. Chavez's life's work. As elected officials, you have the opportunity to demonstrate Portland's commitment to diversity and communities of color by supporting the original resolution. Please do not undermine the work of the coalition and conduct backdoor politics. Renaming Interstate Avenue to Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard will send a message that Portland elected officials have the courage to support leadership that comes from grassroots Latino leaders and allies and uphold the democratic process. By supporting the name change of Interstate Avenue, you will be part of the reclaiming of a piece of history in our city that has all too often been overlooked or left out. You have an opportunity to make change happen in voting in favor for North Interstate street name change to Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. You can help Portland become a city that embraces racial justice and move beyond the lip service of diversity or multicultural awareness. These efforts limit people of color from real access to institutional power and decision-making. In the big picture, it's a street name. It's just one aspect. After today, what will linger will be the divisive and hurtful, painful process that's split our communities apart. I urge you to vote yes for the street name change of Interstate Avenue.
Thank you. Next are Robin Cash, Lonnie Currier, Arlene Holmes. They'll be followed by Roger Trowan, Rob Wolf, Kurt Wright.
Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Mayor and commissioners, I appreciate the opportunity to be heard here today. My name is Arlene Holmes. I'm a Portland native. I've lived in Arbor Lodge neighborhood in North Portland for 30 years. This has been a very educational process for me to come to this. It's the first time I've come to anything like this. So it's encouraging about the spirit of democracy that we do have here. I do not support the name change of Interstate Avenue. My neighborhood has experienced much name change in streets, and a lot of turbulence has resulted. And I think that, obviously, there's a lot of intense feeling about this. I really regret that the committee did a lot of hard work and feel that they were misinformed as to the correct way to go about this. I regret that. And I appreciate that you're standing here and we're all talking about the fact that there's been some confusion and the committee thought one thing and other neighborhoods people thought something different. So I do not support the name change of Interstate Avenue, but I do definitely support the community coming together to honor Mr. Chavez.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Robin Cash. I live in Overlook neighborhood, one half block from Interstate, and I am so excited. As soon as I heard that we might change the name to Cesar Chavez, I was excited. I didn't know the committee, but I just wanted to take part. I wanted to be a part of this exciting time. It's true that not all of the people that oppose this are racist. And it's also true that many people in North Portland feel dumped on and feel as though they have just had too much change pushed down their throat. From my perspective, it would be so, sad to lose the opportunity for this wonderful change, for this exciting change. I think North Portland is an exciting, progressive place to live. I've loved living there. And I think changing the name to Cesar Chavez would just be the icing on the cake. And I would just hate for us to lose that. I did walk door to door in my neighborhood. I collected signatures in favor of this. And many people were in favor of it. Other people, it's true, are opposed to it. But there are many, many people that are in favor of this change throughout the Overlook neighborhood where I live. And that's where I walked, and that's where I collected hundreds of signatures. And I've talked to hundreds of people. And I just will give you an example of one woman, who is very opposed to this. And she said, "Robin, Interstate is this funky, dirty street, you know, and that's where I lived and I grew up, and I just want to keep it like that." So, you know, that's not a racist comment. People have all kinds of reasons for opposing this change, but I'm in favor of it. And I just want to say one more thing. My time's almost up. But Commissioner Sin has said, what is it about this? So I want to focus you that many people have said, This process hadn't been right, and I think Commissioner Adams was concerned about the process. So now all of a sudden, we change it to 4th, and everybody that's opposed to this is thinking, okay, this great process. You know, I just don't get it. I don't get it about that. So I think it is about the process.
Hello, I'm Lonnie Currier, born and raised in North Portland. It's the multicultural neighborhood that I grew up in. I had a Latino partner for 10 years. I didn't know much about Cesar Chavez until this proposal came about. I listened to the proponents, and I admire the accomplishments of Cesar Chavez. I support recognition of his important work, and I respect the work of the renaming committee to seek recognition for Chavez. I also, you know, admire your commitment to rename A Street in Portland. But I've been surprised all along to find out how the city code for renaming has been disregarded for street renaming. Mayor, you said in one of the public meetings that you didn't care that we weren't following the code. That's not what I expect from our city leaders. And now look where we are now, debating promises made behind closed doors versus processes that should or should not take place. If the code does not meet our current needs for process, then we should change the code and then follow the new process. Mayor, you also opened up the public meetings with and closed them with, "We should all agree to disagree," but then you walked out on the council when they were discussing whether or not any alternative should be discussed. What is the purpose of process if it's not going to be considered and listened to? I personally oppose the interstate renaming for a few reasons. I feel that it has a unique history, perhaps more unique than some other streets. In particular, it's like our own version of Route 66 with a unique luminescent median that I've never seen anywhere else. That's what the photos are that were distributed, and here's a sample of that. I tore this out before light rail went in because I was concerned then about maintaining a piece of the unique history. I feel that the multicultural neighborhood requires a balance with maintaining an element of the history that's already there. This would be the second street name change in such a short period of time, and after light rail, it's one of the few things we have left. So, I have a couple of suggestions for a new process, because I think that renaming would involve will involve some opposition no matter what street you choose. One is to address the cost of businesses. Personally, I think that a cost of something like this should be shared by the city. I think there should be city reimbursement of the business costs that are impacted. It's not fair to those that happen to live on the street.
Your time is up, sir.
Okay, thanks.
The next three are Roger Trone, Rob Wolf, and Kurt Wright. They'll be followed by Daniel Garcia, Eric Gale, and John Kirby. It's Roger Trone, Rob Wolf, and Kurt Wright.
Call the next name on the list.
Go ahead, and Daniel Garcia, maybe, on Southeast 80th.
Okay. Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
Who's first?
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Rob Wolf. This is my first time before the city council. I would have preferred to wear a suit and tie today, as I usually would in a public appearance. I'm an attorney. I'm a small business owner. My office is two blocks away. I have 2.5 employees, so I think that's small business. The reason I didn't wear a jacket or a tie today is because I didn't have time to respond to what I read in the Oregonian. I was in a hurry today. I quickly grabbed the paper. I was in a class last night. And suddenly I find the debate about Interstate and Cesar Chavez has moved to 4th Avenue. And not only has it moved to 4th Avenue, but there's an editorial complimenting the City Commission for voting on 4th Avenue today. Now, I admit there's been some flaws in the process in Interstate. I admit there may be some problems with the committee. And there may be an entire flawed process. But I have an idea. Let's vote for 4th Avenue today so we don't have any process. We don't even have 24 hours. We don't have a day. Let's just change it to 4th Avenue. Now, I realize on Interstate it would have cost a few thousand dollars to change stationery. On 4th Avenue, it's a few million dollars. Take a look next door. You've got a 40-story building, 30-story building, law firms, insurance company, accounts. You got to change your web pages. You got to get webmasters. It would cost a lot of money. Could somebody consider a little extra time just to think about it? Now, I realize everybody feels backed into a corner. I'm not taking a position on Interstate or the committee or anything else. You want to vote on it, fine. You're going to tick off one group or the other. You vote on this, you show there is no process. What we need to do, and what I recommend, step back. Get out of the corner. Don't let it put you in the corner. Get out of the corner. Let's look at the process. Let's not rename anything for 6 months to a year until we know what the process is. And also, either give everybody 2 minutes or nobody 2 minutes. Thank you.
My name is Daniel Garcia. I work in North Portland. And, you know, I think a lot of this today is about respect. Who do you respect? How do you respect them? And, you know, I have a family member on the committee, and I've seen the emotions go up and down, you know, and that's not a good feeling for anybody, you know. And I work with people that that are, you know, fall on both sides of the issue, and I've seen their emotions go up and down. But you know what? I think it's time to not worry about politics, not worry about 6 months into the future of where you're going to be or what office you're going to sit in. And take a stand and make a decision, you know, to respect the committee and to respect the people, no matter which way it lies, to respect the people in North Portland and the committee. Just make a decision. Do your job and make a decision. Have the guts to do it. I personally believe Interstate should be renamed. No doubt about it. But what do you guys believe? Whether it should be named one way or the other, just make a decision. Don't let us hang out here like this anymore. If you wait, it's just going to fester. It's just going to become worse than it already is. We're already going to have to repair this. We're going to already have to repair this between the two communities. And that's not fair to either community. That was not the goal. So take a stand, make a decision. Please.
Hello, my name is Kurt Wright. I'm a resident, property owner, business owner in North Portland. I am a 10th generation American. You name a race and I've got it. There are few who are as diverse as I, although I do have 10 siblings who have the same. Of the businesses you listed as supporters, how many are located on North Interstate? Of the signatures in support, how many are registered voters in Multnomah County? Was it a democratic process to have only those in favor have a petition on the mayor's/city-owned website? Would you not be screaming foul if it was for only those opposed? Do you believe it is appropriate to allow people in Washington, D.C. or Colorado to cast a vote for something that affects a small area? By the way, North Interstate does not traverse Portland. It is only in North Portland, a pocket of Portland that is not traveled by the majority of the citizens here. Something I'll never understand is why naming a street after a deserving person honors them in a society where acronyms reign. I've heard so many people today mention MLK. It is but letters for directional guidance. Would not Cesar Chavez Boulevard become CC Boulevard? Where is the honor and education in that? How many here know where the Joan of Arc statue is? Have you ever heard anyone say, turn right when you get to the J of A? I haven't. Give honor to us all and christen a bridge, park, or statue after Cesar E. Chavez. I'd like to question the process that you chose to rename North Interstate. I realize you, Mayor Potter, wanted to honor and show respect for Mr. Chavez. My question to you is, at what cost? You gave no respect to the citizen who live and work in the affected neighborhoods. I think it would be a fair statement that we don't want any name change. History is important. It guides us forward. It teaches us what works. It enables us to be whole and caring. What you have allowed and at times encouraged to evolve into a nasty and negative issue for your personal agenda,
time is up,
should make you ashamed.
The next three are Eric Gale, John Kirby, and Tom Curtin. They'll be followed by Doug Hartman, Anna Ali Rogers, and Jesus A. Estrada.
Thanks for being here. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
I'll go first. My name is Tom Curtin. I live in the University Park neighborhood in North Portland at 5038 North Princeton Street. I am against the renaming of Interstate Avenue. My family has lived in North Portland for over 120 years. We have lived throughout the Piedmont, Overlook, and Albina neighborhoods since the late 1880s. Before I went into the Marine Corps, I grew up 2 blocks south of Portland Boulevard, 5 blocks west of Union Avenue, and about 9 blocks east of Interstate, near the corner of Moore and Holman. I played youth football at Arbor Lodge and attended kindergarten at Ockley Green and grade school at Holy Redeemer. My mom walked across the Interstate Denver Viaduct to get to her World War II job at Malarkey and Malarkey on Columbia Boulevard. In mentioning this, I'm asking you to keep some of the history of the neighborhoods intact, and suggesting that keeping the street names as they are now is one very visual way of doing that. I am not opposed to change or honoring great Americans. I was in agreement with the Union Avenue to Martin Luther King Boulevard change because the name Union had Civil War overtones, and Dr. King worked hard to reconcile the hostility between the races. Yet, one argument I have not heard in this debate is why concentrate the renaming of streets after great civil rights leaders in only one section of Portland? Are residents of Southeast, Northwest, or Southwest Portland opposed to living along, shopping along, or even just driving along a street named after a person of color? I think that is just about as disrespectful and borderline culturally insensitive as ignoring the wishes of Interstate Avenue citizens, and more so than abandoning the official process of renaming streets in the city. Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm John Kirby. Great honor to be here. I'm a 25-year Portland resident, but not along Interstate. But I wanted to point out that I originally came from New York, was a New York resident, go back there quite a bit. So this is a very difficult controversy for all, so I thought I would share just my thoughts on how other people do it, and New York City in particular. And to make sure I had the facts correct, I actually called New York City Hall today, and I talked to the people that do this for the city of New York. So I thought I'd share their perspective. There's similar pressures in New York, as there are here, to recognize very important individuals, but it's got to be balanced against the pragmatics of renaming streets and impacting businesses. So after a lot of decision-making, a lot of thought, they decided they wanted to adopt honorary street naming, which means they dually name streets. So for example, and I talked to them today about one of their recent situations, if you go down to 77th Avenue in New York, right by ABC, you see 77th Avenue on the street corner, but right underneath there, that's the honorary street name. That's for Peter Jennings, the ABC broadcaster that died recently. And so that's how they recognize people. If you go around New York, Wall Street, go around Washington Square, every place around New York City, they do this type of thing to honor people, but it has less impact because the street maintains its original name. They can rename just one block or an entire area or a square doing it this way, and the New York City process is as follows. A community group approves it, then it goes to the city council approves it, and it becomes the new rule. It's administered by the Parks and Recreation. So I might suggest this as a possible compromise for the city of Portland, maybe not in this situation because you're so far downstream, but certainly in the future it could apply to attempts to honor other people similar to Mr. Chavez and other great Americans, great members of the city of Portland. So it might be a possibility to be adopted today by the city council. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Gale. I'm a resident of the Overlook neighborhood. It's hard not to repeat things that have been said already, but I really wanted to emphasize how much process was part of this problem and why things fell apart. Context is obviously, in any emotional issue, central to everything, and the renaming committee and the proponents are feeling what they're feeling because of the whole context and history of their experience. And the same goes for the opponents in North Portland. And as Commissioner Adams knows, living there, and Mayor Potter, as you know, having worked there, and as I learned almost immediately when I moved there 3 years ago, people in North Portland have a chip on their shoulder when it comes to City Hall. They felt neglected, or other ways to phrase it, you hear shoving things down their throat over and over, and that's a very real sentiment. And the longer someone's lived there, the stronger that is. And I think that's why it's not surprising that when a process came out that had two public meetings where input was really irrelevant, it was very much presented that this is a done deal. It's not surprising that people were upset and it fell apart. And I had kind of an insight of what could have been when the committee came to the board, the Overlook Neighborhood Association board that I'm on the summer. It was a very congenial, productive conversation. And we didn't take a stance either way on it, but this was kind of pre-process falling down. And I don't think it's their fault that it did. They followed the procedures laid out. But I really want to emphasize that process has been key in this. Going forward, it needs to be key, whether it's Fourth Avenue, whether it's interstate, that it is going to be key to the successes anywhere. And as one of the PSU president or student council president said, that it needs to be gone about in a way that doesn't make anyone feel invalid. And I just wanted to emphasize that. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Doug Hartman, Anne Ali Rogers, and Jesus A. Estrada.
Doug Hartman has met.
Thank you.
Oh, he's there? Oh,
and they'll be followed by Ileana Machuca, Scott Muma, and Larry Mills.
You changed your seat.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Douglas Hartman. I'm an officer in the Interstate Avenue Association. In my nearly 25 years of community involvement in North Portland, I've never seen a more collective sense of depression. And that depression crosses racial lines, social economic lines, a depression that, once again, City Hall is doing it to North Portland. That depression is from being accused of being racist. That depression is from being disrespectful. Speaking personally, no one in this room was a bigger supporter or a longer fan of Mr. Chavez than I am. This issue has degenerated to the point where the legacy of Mr. Chavez has been hijacked. What's been missing through the process is real leadership. I truly hope that you can find it in yourselves to rise above all of the petty dynamic and engage in the leadership required to rightfully honor this great man. And I applaud you for the efforts at trying to find a compromise. Thank you.
My name is Anna Lee Rogers, and thank you for allowing me to speak today again. Today I am hoping for a compromise that will bring to an end this unsettling and unhealthy confrontation that renaming Interstate Avenue has taken. This has been a costly procedure in time, energy, and money. A prime consideration in the matter should be support for the investments that have been made in developing the MAX light rail line and the ongoing effort being made to rezone Interstate Avenue to open the way for both commercial and higher residential density properties. After decades of deterioration, the revitalization of Interstate has begun. There are new businesses, new rentals and condominium developments, and already started, and more projects are being considered. Being branded a racist community will not encourage new development. The key criteria used to evaluate potential real estate purchases and development are location, location, and location. During my 40 years career as a real estate salesman and broker in North Portland, often the most important sales tool I had was the fact that my husband was a Portland policeman and we bought our home in North Portland in 1957. Our children attended public school. I, my husband, his brothers and sisters, and other children attended Jefferson High School, and we had no desire to move elsewhere. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jesus Estrada. I'm a retired teacher from Portland. 35 years, I was a counselor at Roosevelt and a teacher at Jefferson, and also Marshall and all over the place. Just to get to it, I was involved in talking with the committee, and I have spoke to some of the commissioners, and what we do right now, we have an organization in North Portland called Frente Común, and what we do is we're having dialogue, and we're building partnerships with the neighborhood associations, and we're trying to do all the things that we can to form the relationships so when the difficult issues come forward that we're able to reach an understanding as quickly as possible. I had this written thing up, but I threw it away because it's just, I was caught by surprise by what happened this morning, by what I read this morning. And as a community organizer 45 years, I had the pleasure of working with Cesar Chavez. We escorted him from Southern Oregon through University of Oregon, Oregon State, Portland State as a student back in 68, 69. And he also taught me that, he said, it will always be difficult. I was a student senator at the University of Oregon when I was doing that. And he said, it'll always be difficult to make a decision when the leadership fails to give its true direction of what's going on. And I'm disappointed. Our committee, the committee and many people had come up with alternatives, and so I'm going to give you one. Since you're wanting to consider alternatives, but don't undignify us by just... I would prefer that you make the vote no, then dignify us by having us go through all this process, and then say, I know what's best for you. As a mediator for many years, I've known that until both sides who are for or against an issue, until they both come to an understanding of what it is that they're trying to get to, that until they understand that nothing will happen. The commissioners did not make a clear statement about that. Please just vote up and down yes or no, and we will continue. Our organization and many other organizations will continue to try to do what we can to participate in the community, in all of the communities, because we live here. The recommendation was thrown out once, and then we said, let's see what goes on.
Your time is up.
May I give the recommendation?
You've had 30 seconds over your time. Thank you.
Can I ask a question, Mayor?
Yes.
What was your recommendation?
The process broke down again. Okay.
Well, that was the right process.
Basically, to name the street, Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and to put above it, it's a president already in this community, to put above it the historic interstate community. They have that all over Portland already. I think that's going to give both sides, that is. Otherwise, for me, just vote no if that's how you're going to go. But don't be undignified and keep changing things if you don't have a handle on the process. Thank you.
Can I just ask you one question? Because I appreciate your efforts that you've been making. And I got lost in the jump from we need to do some mediation to let's just take an up-down vote. Because what I've found is that mediation works best when the up-down vote is yet to be determined, and it could go either way.
I don't ever remember that there was leadership in leading that. We knew from very early, and I remember meeting with Mr. Leonard, we knew from very early the process was not going to work, that there was something wrong with it. At that time, I believe that the leadership should have stepped up and said, look, well, wait a minute, time out. Before we go to any more hearings, before we go to any more community where we're embattling each other, I feel that the community is embattled. We're in that position. If it's a win, it's a win-lose now. Either way you go. I wish that the council or somebody would have stepped up. I wish that Mr. Adams would have stepped up, so he went to a meeting and said he wanted to deal with some of this. Somebody would have stepped up and said, wait a minute, we're in charge of this process. Here's how it's going to be way early before the mudslinging happened. I work in that community, and I work with people who are opposed to it as much as in favor of it, but I think we're both in the same pain place. We're both feeling this, that we've been let down. So again, reiterate, I would rather hear the vote no than to hear everything that you do doesn't count, and then have people on the other side explain themselves. And I mean, I've never seen that much of an organization come together, because I've been trying to organize a lot of things from the community that's opposing, and I've been getting some feedback, but I really don't know what this is. I don't know why people are not in favor of it. So with my recommendation, thank you very much.
Can I just follow up on that, about the meeting that we met at, and you were pointing out that there hadn't been political leadership or an attempt to find a way out. But I have to remind you, that's why I asked to meet with you, was to say that there was a majority of us on the council that recognized that the process had become dysfunctional. And the literal words I was told back in that meeting is, you are either with us or against us. And so I found myself in a place where I was dealing with two sides, neither of which wanted to have a reasonable discussion. And I appreciate, I actually agree with you that we needed leadership, and I was attempting to provide that, but I got less than an open response in my attempt to do that, and thus we find ourselves where we are today.
May I respond to that for a second?
Please.
Yeah. What I heard from you say at that meeting was that you were going to try, what I understood was that we were going to try to correct the process. I did not hear that we were going to come up with alternatives to what that is. I'm okay. That's not what I heard.
Okay.
And so when people said, no, this is the decision we've made, that this is where we want it to be, we knew, and we know anyone that's dealt with government, and I've been an elected official myself, knows that the final vote is right here. But it's how it's handled, how it's really processed, and that people keep it real clear about how this is going to happen, that's going to keep us from being divided in this community. I still intend to work with this community. There's still many activities that are going to happen. We hope to happen. It isn't. It's just one little battle lost, but we want to maintain our dignity to win who we are, the war, to unify the communities. So I hope that you show that leadership and make that decision on the question that's here, rather than try to find the back way out of trying to make this work, because the only ones that are going to make it work is us in the community. It's not going to be you trying to rescue us. It's you making a decision based on what you've heard already. And because the process was broken, you weren't able to hear that.
Well, let me ask you one last question then, because I appreciate your approach. So it makes, I mean, I'd have to take from your testimony, and I just want to make sure this is what you're saying, that it doesn't make sense to you to say to the Latino community who wants the change on interstate, okay, this other idea came at the last minute. Do you want to think about it?
I didn't understand.
I mean, why wouldn't we take a little bit of a break for the Latino community, who I think has made a lot of great case about how they've pushed hard, et cetera, I won't say it, to think about the other proposal?
But But that's exactly my point. What other choice have you got, Mr. Stan? Now that you've got us all at each other's throats, and I know a lot of those people that are opposed to it, right, who are willing to work with us, what other choice do you have but to do more time? I think it could have been handled in the front, and I hope that if it's a no vote, that there'll be leadership that's ready to deal with the thing. I've given a suggestion of what you can do. I agree with the lawyer guy that came by and said, I don't think you know what you're doing, unless you're going to break the process that you can give us forth as Cesar Chavez. You've got many more businesses and stuff to happen unless you're saying, no, we'll just decide and the heck with what they think. So it's really a mess.
No, it is a mess.
And I need the leadership to step forward. I, as a community organizer and representative of many other people there, to step forward and help us to work this thing out rather than to discredit one group and refuse to face the type of communities that you're dealing with, what's going on there. And particularly, Mr. Adams, you're from our community, so you should know our community.
No, it is a mess, and I appreciate that, and I won't go too much longer, but I think this is an important point to keep talking about just a little bit, and I like the way that you're willing to broach some of these subjects. I have, in my meetings with the committee, and I think there's been three over the last 2 or 3 weeks, have repeatedly made strong suggestions about some other ways to take a step towards more process, potentially looking at other ideas, just thinking it through. And the committee's drawn a very hard line and said absolutely not. And I've tried very hard to respect that. If the premise in front of you is that the city council is at least considering really saying what you just said, that maybe there's another street, maybe we recognize that the process is a mess, maybe we recognize that going through this process again won't work, and so the proposal being, why don't we do the street that, and the proposal at this point, why don't we do the street that you're sitting in, so that it isn't us coming to somewhere else, it's us right here in Forth, which is the center of the city where City Hall sits. And if the premise was the city council may be willing just to do that as what I would consider a very strong statement of support for the man and his legacy, why wouldn't we take a breath and discuss that?
Because you're discrediting all the people on both sides of this issue to just give us the solution and say, here it is. I also agree with someone who said the process wasn't working until somebody said, Cesar Chavez is our hero. He's the best thing that's ever happened, but not in my neighborhood. Now everybody says, oh, yeah, over there is fine. Let's give it the Forth. That's what I'm saying. So to me, to do it that way would be to discredit both sides and show disrespect in terms. And we have a lot of healing to do. We can put some things together and make those communities come together, because the future is evident. The numbers are changing, and people are thinking differently, and so on. And that's why I wouldn't do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Eliana Machuca, Scott Muma, and Larry Mills.
Could you read the names again?
Scott Muma, I'm sorry. Yeah, Eliana Machuca, Scott Muma, and Larry Mills. How about Joe Rastatler? Joe's here. Thank you. They'll be followed by Woodrow Broadnax. I believe it's Byung Vu and Wiley G. Bartnett.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Eliana Machuca. I work for Portland Jobs with Justice, an organization that did support the name change of Interstate Avenue to Cesar Chavez Boulevard. A lot of points have been raised throughout the course of this, and I agree with a lot of the comments put forward by those who support the name change. I wanted to bring a couple of other points to the table and not necessarily echo a lot of what's already been said. But I did want to spend just a second to say that on one side, there's a lot of sides, but on one side, in the Latino community, people are confronted with a lot of attacks. Whether you're documented or not, you're feeling the effects of executive decisions, legislation, raids, racism, all kinds of things that affect you. And then so this, I think, was seen as an opportunity to do something positive, to find something that would be honoring an American Latino in this community, a symbol of hope. And I think one of the things I think we also recognize is that you don't get anything, especially people of color, organizations of color, without fighting for it. And so we weren't surprised, I think, to hear testimony that said, anywhere but here, not in my backyard. I mean, I think to an extent, people were ready for that. And so I think part of that is not wanting to go back is because you don't want to. You know there's going to be a fight, no matter what it is. And so that's important. I think the other side is that there's people who are feeling like there's so much. This is everybody. We don't have control over healthcare. We don't have any control over the war. We don't have a control over job security. And this was seen as something that potentially, oh, this is another change, something else we don't have control over. But it was a tangible thing to fight against, a tangible thing to say, oh, well, maybe we can not have this name change happen. And so I think that we're at this meeting point right now of those two things happening. And I guess I want to leave with that this is a potential to do something positive. The city council still can work on those other issues that I think people have a hard time struggling with. And I think I just wanted to put that into context. It's a little abstract, but I think it's important.
Yes, please. My name is Larry Mills. I live in the Canton neighborhood, lifetime resident. Mayor Potter and fellow commissioners, I'm very dismayed that we're here today under these tense and unnecessary circumstances. The interstate renaming fiasco should never have gotten to this point. Unfortunately, the citizens opposing this name change have been characterized as insensitive and racist. From the first meeting I attended at Kaiser Town Hall, it became very evident that this smelled of backroom politics. The organizing committee indicated that they had supported the mayor and fellow city commissioner or city council members. Unfortunately, they did not conduct any outreach with the community. It was like it was a done deal. So process, my friends, was not followed, the same process that any citizen group would be required to follow. To compound a contentious situation, race became an issue. Let's be clear, race is not the issue. The issue is simply checking with your constituency before you act. This wasn't done. At all meetings, citizens suggested compromises, other ways to honor Mr. Chavez. It fell on deaf ears. There apparently was no flexibility whatsoever on the issue. So it's not a fault of the community to react. The onus of responsibility falls on this city council. Now you have a tough decision. I don't envy you. City council should be a stabilizing influence in our time in times of controversy, rather than fanning the flames. Our mayor gets up and walks out of a city council meeting. I don't know how many people I've talked to are still scratching their head about that one. So remember, remember who put you where you're at. That's the issue. Not the other distractions. Hopefully the damage can be repaired.
Good evening, Mayor. It's evening now, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Joe Rastatter. I'm a resident of Northeast Portland, and I'm a co-chair of the Jobs with Justice Faith Labor Committee. Jay with Jay is on record as supporting the change of interstate to Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and so do I. If Cesar got the word of our communities grappling with this issue, I believe he would not be surprised. No stranger to struggle. Farmworker gains were not given to them, as Eliana said. They were fought for and taken. The Fourth Avenue proposal, without Cesar Chavez committee's input and approval, I believe takes power from their recognized leadership, and it seems disrespectful and wrong. Cesar Chavez was a person of love and hope. He believed in the dignity and the goodness of every person, and he practiced nonviolence. Inspired by his hope, I believe that some good will come from all of this. One of the great moments in my life was in 1991 at Merrillhurst College when Cesar remembered me as an old friend and ally, and he told me that day how pleased he was to recognize that thousands of folks, inspired and trained by the farmworker movement, went on to lives of public service and action. He was a mentor to me and to many of others from all walks of life. I want to make the point that I also, like just about every person raised in an environment of white privilege, am at times overly competitive, prone to violence, and still to some degree racist. These are characteristics I believe I share with people in the Portland community. In honor of Cesar Chavez, I choose to learn and practice being less violent, less racist. and I invite the city commissioners and all others to be a part of this process. Peace.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Woodrow Broadnecks. I believe it's Tiong Vu and Wiley G. Barnett.
Good evening. It looks like I'm going to be here all by myself.
How about Julie Ann Rogers?
Hang on just one second, Mr. Barnett.
And Promise King.
Okay.
And they'll be followed by Lois Strahan, Richard Prentice, and Patricia Nolan.
Okay, I'll go first. My name is Julie Rogers, North Portland resident, and I'm going to take just a little different tact here. We're all walking around this thing like race isn't an issue. It is an issue. And that's the missed opportunity that we had here. We could have sat down and really learned about our neighbors. We could have learned how to help the families that have been traumatized by Del Monte. We need affordable housing in Overlook. We don't need a name change. We need people that work together to build our community together. What you've done is you've galvanized us all. Please, oh, this is where I do get to the what I wrote. Sorry. I'm very, very glad to hear, I think it was Mr. Martinez, saying that there was a willingness to bring all people to the table. That is the beauty of our city. Every person can come to the table. I don't have to be excluded just because I don't agree. We need to work together. Please listen and work with the mediation. I called many times asking for mediation from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, was told that that was not part of the job. I know that's different. We need to do something to bring us together. I choose to live in North Portland because of our diversity, because of my neighbors, and honor us by including us all. If we stop and we sit back and we all come to the table together, we can really learn about each other and strengthen our community as a whole instead of dividing us. Thank you.
Gentlemen, how you doing? You guys are way in this storm. That's good. I mean, I want to say this. In the first sake, Eric, never, ever go to an AT&T store and tell them that you got a problem with your phone. Because the first thing they're going to tell you is, do you want an upgrade? That is a no-no. Don't do that. The other issue is this. As a representative, Juneteenth, the 19th of June in America, and it is the second oldest African-American holiday in the United States, following 1776. We birthed the Civil Rights Movement. We birthed Cesar Chavez. And in that respect alone, I have to stand here and say that I have to support the Latino community as it moves forth to recognize their hero. It is the right thing to do. We entrusted in each and every one of you the power to make the decisions, regardless if they're good or bad, regardless if there's backlash or not, but to make decisions for us in these regards and not to be swayed one way or another. When I hear that a decision has been made, and then it has been countermade, and then I wake up to 4th Street in the morning. This is not an opportunity for a chicken in everybody's pot. This is an opportunity to be able to fix a problem that is steeped in racism. Not the racism of this particular dynamic, but a racism that is ingrained in the fabric of 1776 that carries over to all of us. So I'm going to say this. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. I came to Dan quite some time ago and said this. I respect the idea of interstate. And I respect the idea of Martin Luther King. However, there are drive-bys on Martin Luther King. However, there's drug dealing on Martin Luther King. There are things, prostitution, on Martin Luther King. And I can assume that if we've changed the name of Cesar Chavez, there's going to be much of the same. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Promise King.
I've listened to eloquent testimony today about why and why not. I want to say race is not the issue here. It's a smart distraction. For someone to say, oh, I'm scorn racist, so I'm not going to pay attention. I'm hot. It's playing like a black person playing race card, and it's disgusting. You know, if you ever pay attention to the presidents we have here, NATO, Rosa Parks, and Union, you know this is a rehash of reasons, a rehash of sentiments, and all it wanted, all it required is your commitment to the process. The resolution you voted for, all that matters is to respect that resolution. I have a lot to say about this, but I'm watching my time. But you know, to take you back a little bit, back to history, minorities really never had given the benefit of the doubt, you know. But as time go on with modification and courageous men like Tom Potter and men like you sitting down there, things changed. We're making progress. But, you know, I haven't talked to a lot of my friends in the Latino community. They feel really disrespected. In my last testimony, I asked you just vote up and down. So if someone comes to you and say, I need something, you either say no or yeah. Don't cherry pick and say, look, you know, go and pick somewhere else. Just be courageous enough to say no or go back, come to me with another choice. I'm going to vote no. You know, there are two things that being the hydra-headed knuckle that's been talked about during this process, race and politics. We've heard a lot about racial stuff, but we've not heard about how politics have really strangulated and transgressed this process. But all in all, I ask you to vote yay for this resolution.
The next three are Lois Stranahan, Richard Prentice, and Patrick Nolan. Okay. They'll be followed by Martha Perez, Carl Mathias, and Manuel Galavez.
Next year, I'll be dancing with the stars.
I hope to be your partner.
Who's going first?
Yeah, I do.
You, ma'am.
Okay. I'm Lois Stranahan. Commissioner Dan Salzman is my commissioner. He always says he knows who I am. And I know that he knows who I am because my handcuffs hang on the kitchen wall. Remember, Brother...
Would you like to explain that?
Yeah,
we'll give you an extra minute.
Well, you lost me on that one, Lois.
You have 10 minutes to explain
that. You did get our attention.
Well, I wasn't arrested once, but twice. That's why I say they hang on the kitchen wall. I'm proud of them. But I want to say that just remember one thing. And I'm sorry that this chap over here left because I have some good things to say to him. I hope he comes back. Remember, we're not far from a holiday. Thanksgiving is coming around soon. I was born in Arkansas in 1919 on a 65-acre farm. I grew up on the farm knowing what it's like to be on the short end of the hoe
and that's where Cesar Chavez got his bed back from working, not only working in the fields, in the grape vineyards, and in organizing. I married into a longshoreman's union.